but my heart will sing a melody. I pray that I can sing a new song, hallelujah. Whatever has weighed us down, whatever's weighed, hallelujah, those have come here tonight with heavy burdens. I pray to God, Lord, that there begins to be a melody within them to begin to sing. Hallelujah. I begin to something stir within them, hallelujah, that hasn't stirred before right now in the Holy Spirit right now. Come on, let the Holy Spirit stir your hearts tonight. Come on, I just want you to say, Father God, stir my heart tonight. Stir my heart, God, Lord, whatever I've been blinded by, whatever's caused me to have distractions, whatever I've picked up that caused my walk to be heavy, whatever has caused me to be weary, I pray tonight that I can sing a new song. I pray you stir our hearts tonight. I pray you quicken us like never before. I pray to God, Lord, that we begin to hear, hallelujah, like we've never heard before. I pray you to open our eyes, God. Let us have eyes in the Spirit, ears in the Spirit, that we can hear what the Father's saying. That we can hear your crying unto us, the answers that you give to us. That you declare that you are the way, you are the truth, and you're the life. Lord, I pray that we hear that and we receive it, God, tonight. In Jesus' name, come on, hallelujah. Come on, I pray. Come on, let's just ask God, give us understanding. Come on, everybody say, give us understanding. Give us understanding tonight, God. Open our eyes in Jesus' name. Come on, bless somebody. Give God some praise. Come on, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Children may be dismissed. Hallelujah. Come on, bless somebody here tonight. Reach over and tell someone you're glad they're here. Amen.
I forgot. If anyone has a moment after the service, I don't think there's no food, right? No fellowship tonight, the fellowship hall. As you can see, our tree is still up, and we leave it up a little longer than after Christmas, but it is time we get it down. And even though we're still doing it, if anyone can stay and help, there's not a lot, and we can box it up, and that way we don't have to come back tomorrow when it's so cold. It won't take long. Basically, I just want to get the tree down, and we can put it away. So if anyone can, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Come on. Can you say glory? Oh, come on. You do better than that. Come on. Hallelujah. Amen. Show us your glory. Come on. Declare that. Show us your glory, God. Amen. Come on, what's your glory? All that God is, hallelujah. All that He was, all that He is, and all that He is to come, hallelujah. You know, God's not done yet. Tell someone God's not done. Oh, come on, some of you might feel like God's done with you. Come on, He ain't done with you, hallelujah. He's not done messing with you. He's not done seeking after you. You might feel like you're not seeking after Him, but I'm here to tell you tonight, He's seeking after you. Am I talking to the right crew tonight? He's seeking you. He's seeking those that are hungry, those that are thirsty. You hungry tonight? You hungry tonight? You hungry tonight? Amen. Come on. Amen. You hungry tonight? Hallelujah. Stir our hearts. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo. Hallelujah. Quicken us tonight, God. Quicken us tonight. Amen. We began to sing that song and show us your glory, God. That's my heart, man. I desire to see Him for who He is. Not for what man says He is. Not from just what I've heard about. But you see, I want the richness and the realness of experiencing and knowing God for myself. Come on. I'm not in this for a religious walk and experience. But I'm in this for a relationship. That the God of heaven and earth desires to abide. And He's seeking after me. He's seeking after you tonight. I want you to hear that and have reverence and understanding that God's longing for you to enter into all that He is. For you to embrace the name that's above all names. So many times we place so many things above God that we don't recognize we do, but God's going to disrupt everything that tries to be above His name, because He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And sometimes we place things, but I want you to know that God will disrupt things. We've been talking about God disrupting our lives because we have placed things sometimes in the wrong place. We have set things, whether they're fears or doubts or things in your past, things that have haunted you for your life, that we place them. And sometimes those things become kings. Sometimes those things become masters. But I want you to know that He loves you so much. He loves you so much that even when you're not seeking Him, He's seeking you. Because He wants to be the king in your life. Not just the king of the world, but you hear that? He wants to be your king. He wants to be your Lord. He wants to be your shepherd. He wants to be your strength. He wants to be your source of hope, your life, your purpose, your destiny, your desire, everything. And out of that flow comes something. Ooh, something's real. Something powerful that nothing in this world, none of those names you put above Him can compare to what that name is in you. Who He is that you experience. He said that I will flow out of you rivers of life. Ha ha. Come on, I want rivers of life. Sometimes we put some dams up. Because you feel like you're, you feel like not just, come on, opening up and letting God in because of your things. All of us. Because your experiences, because somebody hurt me or somebody said something. God says, I want you to know me. I want to flow out of you like river. Because you know why? Because you are His sons and daughters. The way they see you, they see Him. Why would He not give you everything that He is so that you can represent everything that He is? So that when people meet you, do you know, I want you to know that, man, I've heard stories of men and women in the Bible that have had such a relationship with God that they literally were rivers of stream of life. They would literally be walking in stores and markets and people would bump into them and all of a sudden they'd say, I need saved. I need Jesus in my life. They realized that as soon as you bumped into me, something happened within me. Something happened. That's God. See, God wants to use you to bump into people. To disrupt people's lives. Come on, to stir people's hearts. That He could be the king of all kings in their lives. To use you in those marketplaces right where you're at. In your homes. In your work. At the gas station. You're standing and pumping and nobody knows what's happening. But God's got His son and His daughter standing right there. Designed to be used to bless that person. That maybe that person pulled up and is hurting. Doesn't know the way they're going to go. But God's got you there. God got you there to disrupt what the enemy has tried to destroy. Change things. To move things around. You, hallelujah, are sons and daughters. We are the children of God. Come on, bless His name. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, give Him praise. Come on, that's who I am. Amen. Hallelujah. That's all right. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 19. I want you to see this. Matthew 19. I've read this story and y'all know this story. Come on, it's about the rich young ruler. And we can relate to this, and I know that I can relate to this because we can say rich, that means that he's filled up with something. Amen. That he's got enough of what it is, that he's rich, that he has something that he has. That he feels filled up. I know that I felt that way for a long time. That sometimes you feel like you got enough. Sometimes you feel like, but you know there's something missing. You know there's something more. And it means filled up, but maybe not with the right stuff. Come on. Filled up, and what we do is sometimes we regulate, we pull things into our lives to feel filled. To find purpose. To find hope, to find peace. And we'd use so many different things to kind of fill ourselves. And we apply those things on our lives. Almost like the products we use. Every time you turn around, you know what's funny? I used to make fun of those, not make fun of them, but I used to look and see all these medicines on on TV and say, this is ridiculous. But now that I've reached 50, I found out that I have that symptom. Yeah, maybe. I got that, man. Do you think I need that? Come on, but I want you to see that sometimes we try. So just like this rich young ruler, that he's there. But I want you to see something and like you've never seen before. I hope that I can open your heart. Say, behold. See, God is a jealous God. He loves you so much. So I just want us to focus this and see this, that sometimes we don't narrow it down to me, of what He thinks of me and how He loves me. I want you to know that the Bible says that it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. The goodness of God. And it's the awareness of how much He loves you. How much you mean to Him. How much you're set apart in His heart, that you are placed in a special place in His heart for you. See, I want you to know that sometimes this is what we're missing in this world today, that people don't know who they are. They can't find their identity. But I want you to know that, see, God sent His Son to show man their identity, to reveal to them who they are. So I don't want to jump ahead, but I want you to know that Jesus came. He was the Word of God. He came in flesh. That He came and revealed who God was. That this was God's expression in the earth, in the flesh, right before every one of us. That we are to look at Him to see that He is the image and likeness. He's a reflection of what a son is. That He's the reflection of me. It's like me looking into a mirror. When I see Jesus, I see who I really am. I begin to find out what my identity is. I see who I am. See, that's my example. That's my. It brings me back to that place, that point of reference. He is the point of reference in my life. God sent that I can see who I am, that I can find the way, because He is the way. He is the truth and He is the life. That I don't know the truth until I see Jesus, until I experience Him, until I know Him. So I see who He is. So God sent His Son that He could be a reflection of all that God was. And Jesus declared, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. See, that word repentance, sometimes we've kind of disrupted that word, but that word's so powerful because it means to repent. It means that whatever you've embraced, whatever you have been embracing, whatever you have held on to, whatever you have changed your mind, that whatever you have grabbed onto, that you've filled your life up with, is that moment as we repent and take hold of all that He is. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. I have what you've been looking for. Everything that you've placed before me is not comparable to who I am. Repent, to change, to turn my mind, to realize who I really am. So Jesus reveals that to us in the flesh. He reveals who God is. The expression, the way that God thinks about you, when we look at Him and we see that the Father never forsake Him, that we could see that He walked in the authority that He had, that all the power was given to Him, and He walked in this authority and this power above all names. There was nothing overpowering Him. That is our reference to see that that's who I am as a son. Me. That's who you are as a son. That's who you are. So when we see Jesus, that we look and we realize that God showed us His glory in Jesus, all that He was, for the kingdom of God is in hand. So listen, He says, and behold, we behold a lot of things. Everybody has a journey. Everybody has a different place you've been from. Everybody has a different experience of where you got to where you are right now. And through that journey, we've beheld things. We've experienced it. Come on, you have some experiences in your life. Come on, you got some experiences in your life. Come on, you got some things that you've taken along the journey. Come on, some things from the past. Come on, you got some scars. Anybody? You got some wounds. Listen, he says, and Jesus beheld, He came and said unto him, good master. He called him master. And he says, Master, what good things shall I do that I might inherit eternal life, that I might have life? I mean, I want you to know that whatever that is, I want you to know that you wouldn't be looking for something else if you didn't realize you needed it. I want you to know that you're here tonight because you know you need something more, that there's something more. Amen? There's something more. So here's Jesus where that this man come. And I want you to know that Jesus, just like every one of you, just like He does with me, but He'll begin to challenge your belief. He'll begin to challenge what we think about Him. So I want you to know that He didn't act like it, but he had an understanding or what He thought God was or what God wanted. You know, we have this perception of what we think that God wants. What we think that God wants from us. We assume, come on, we walk with this idea. Randy was talking last night about how this perception that he had of a fear of God, that he was afraid that here's God's waiting for every move, that, man, you make this mistake, you're going to get whacked. Like a whack-a-mole. Every time you popped your head up or had a bad experience, that God was waiting to slam you. But I want you to see that here this guy had this perception of who God was. I want you to know, see, the perceptions you have of God is a reflection of who He is. So don't you think that God's going to challenge what you believe? God's going to challenge what is in your heart. He's going to come, and if it's not of Him, He's going to disrupt it. I want you to know that God's disrupting a lot of things in America. Come on, He's challenging a lot of thought patterns. He's challenging people's hearts that what's in their heart. What is really within the heart? God's challenging. He's challenging us, even in this church. Challenging us. What's our belief system? What do we believe in? He says, and he's a good thing. He says, may I have eternal life, that I might have eternal life. And he said unto him, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? He says, what is your belief? Where do you come from with this understanding that you think that I'm good? Because he's challenging him. I want you to know that we stand, and there's a lot of people that call him Savior. There's a lot of people that call him Lord or call him Master. If we declare that, he wants that from our lives. He wants to meet us where we are. So this love in his heart, and he says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. He says, the one who is God. Can you say God? I want you to see that the representative of God was standing right there. The image and likeness of God was right in front of this man. He says that you don't know who He is. I want you to know that we have to have that place in our hearts that we know that we hear God's voice. The God Almighty, the name above all names, was standing before Him, asking Him, why do you call me good? Why do you call me good? Why are you asking me? What is this of you? You call me Master, but why do you say this? So I want you to know that He didn't have the ear to hear. That we have the ear to hear, that when God speaks to our hearts, He challenges that we respond, that we begin to move, that we have a relationship with Him, that it's not Sunday, it's not Saturday night, it's not just Wednesday, but it's every day that we know His voice, His cry to our hearts, that we have this relationship, that we have this flow, that He comes from our lives, that no matter where we are, that we can express who He is. That, like my wife says, that we can be the expression of the fruit of God. When you're abiding in the vine, you don't have to try to love. You don't have to try to find peace. You don't have to search for hope. It's your being. Because you're abiding. You're abiding in that voice that's speaking to us, that desires to talk to us, to draw us. That we're focused on Him. That we're not distracted by hurts and pains, but we follow after Him. We talked Wednesday night about how did Jesus do all that He did, that He was betrayed, He was beaten, He was forsaken, He was lied about, if people turned their backs on Him, all those things, but He kept moving on. Why? Because He was abiding in the name above all names. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. You okay? So quiet. I don't want to be the only voice. Help me. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
He saith him which... He says, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, if you desire to enter into life, keep the commandments. I want you to know, say set up. I want you to know that sometimes God will not always tell you what you want to hear. We like to hear the blessings. We like to share the scriptures all the time about the good things, the blessings, the... We like to hear the favor. We like to hear these other things. But there's some things that God says that offends me. There's some things that God declares in my heart that He won't let that be a name above His name. Come on. Sometimes there's things that He won't let me date somebody else, some other name above His name. See, because He wants me for Himself. He desires me. And I want you to see this, that He desires you. And just like this guy, that you got to understand the heart of God. That He wasn't coming to sideswipe him, but He was coming to give him life. What He was asking for. Are you ready for what you're asking for? Because you're asking for me. And I want you to know that, listen to me, you're asking me for life. And then He says to him, what are they? He said, do you follow the commandments? Have you done the laws? Have you been to church? See, we think we know what God wants to hear. Come on. Or what we think God wants from us, that maybe our attendance, or maybe we do this or that, or maybe you dress really nice. Do you like my sweater? I think I look nice. My wife says, don't wear them shoes. What's wrong with my shoes? They're the most comfortable shoes I've ever owned in my life. She says, they're summer shoes. They're boat shoes. I said, they're my shoes. I need to wear them just in case I walk in the shadow of the valley of death. Listen. He saith him, he says, what Jesus said, he says, thou shalt not commit murder. He says, thou shalt do no murder. Come on, check him off with me. He says, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Talk bad about your neighbor. He says, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, as these things I have kept, I have done this thing. I have done this. So feeling good within himself, I want you to know that he will not give him what he thinks he needs to hear or he wants to hear. I want you to know sometimes we go to church and we hear what we think we want to hear, and we hear that, or we're preached a message that will make us feel comfortable. I'd love to sometimes. God won't let me. But he began to say something. He says, I've done all these things. He says, yep, I do this thing. You feel good about myself that I'm able to walk out of this place today, and I'll see you next week. I want you to know that God doesn't want you to bump into him once a week. See, he wants to step within you. Hallelujah. He wants to abide. I want you to know that this was a monumental moment right here. This is that moment right there in his life where things are going to change. You can keep going. You're asking me what you need, but you're telling me I've done that. Well, you've missed it. I want you to know that you've failed this, that you haven't done that. Listen to this. This is good. Shh, calm down. And the young man said unto him, he says, I've done these things. I kept these things from my youth, just as a little kid. He says, just like when I was a little kid, I've done this all this time. But listen to what he says. He says, yet, what do I lack still? Tell your neighbor, he's lacking something. Oh, come on, this is what I mean, that something, he's leaking. He's leaking a little bit. Come on, amen. That in his experience that there's some cracks or something there where that he's done the... Do you find it? You good? Okay. You got to hear, maybe... Aaron's phone. He says, and Jesus said, he says, from my youth up, he says, yet, what lack I yet? He's asking him, what am I lacking? I want you to know that this is that moment. I want you to hear this and know this, that it's those moments right here that kind of make us feel uncomfortable because we're afraid to hear, I know I need to hear this. Do I want to keep going on in cycles? And do I just want to keep on going in circles around and around? Well, I want you to know that here is God right here, this moment right here, to get him off that cycle, that circle that keeps going around and around, where he keeps leaking life, that he doesn't fill himself up. There's something missing within him. There's something that he hasn't found yet, but it's right there. And God's just about ready to say something that's going to change his life forever. And I'm here to tell you that I want you to know that God is always declaring to us what we need at that moment that we need here. Amen? He says, and Jesus said to him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell. He says, if you desire life, he says, go sell that which you have and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasures in heaven. And come, here it is, come and follow me. This is that moment right now. This is that moment right here that will change how we thought of him, of who he was. This is that moment right now that was changing everything. I want you to hear this and know that there's moments that God speaks into our hearts that this is a changing moment, that right then and there, that all this thing, that God has come to this moment in this time to move above everything else that he named above God. That everything that he's placed, everything that's passed, I want you to know that God continues to walk with us. And there's some things in our life that we go to church and we keep moving, but I want you to know that God lets us get to a place where we're able to hear or to receive what he has to speak to our hearts. And we have that opportunity at that moment right there to receive what he has. So I want you to know he's declaring to him, he says, this is that moment of repentance. This is the moment. This is the offer of change right here. That whatever you have in your hand, sell what you have. I know you've sold this, but it hasn't worked for you. It seemed like it has. The system that you follow, everything that you've done, it hasn't worked to this time. You're asking me because you're weak, because you're hungry. And I'm giving it to you right now. He said, follow me. Sell what you have. I want you to hear this and know that there's some things that every time that God continues to pull us away unto himself. And there's those times that God begins to take those things that we carry. Come on, that are heavy. That he knows in our hearts that have been heavy. I want you to know that this man has tried to do things right. He's tried, but he's missed the mark. That's what we do with religion. That we try to do the right thing. We try to read so many scriptures a day. We try to do this. It isn't about that, but it's about Jesus. It's about who he is. It's about who he is. Let's look at Isaiah 40. I think first verse 28. Are you okay? Austin didn't turn the heat off, did he? He tries to save money. I'm on fire, but that's... She'll deal with Kelly after service. He'll deal with Kelly. All right, y'all with me? Come on. Isaiah. I know where it is right here. Isaiah 28. He says that we think that we know him. And I love this scripture because it's challenging what we think we know. See, there's evidence that comes. When you abide in him, there's a result. Something happens. That's why we got to continue to keep our focus on him. That's why we got to continue to see him, to look at him, to see him who he is, for who he is. And not what I think he is. Or not be moved by what someone does to me or this or that. But I have to keep my eyes upon him in all matters, in everything that I do. And the Bible says, it says in verse 28 of 40, hast thou not known? Don't you know? Has he not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, he faints not, neither is he weary. Come on, tell someone He's not weary. He hasn't forgot about you. Come on, say it again. He hasn't forgot about you. Come on, amen. He hasn't forgot about you. He's not weary of you putting other things before Him. He's not weary of that. He wants to be first in your life. But I want you to know that, see, there's something about God that it really... See, He's not threatened by nothing else. You know why? Because there's nothing like Him. He's not threatened by those things you put first. Does He want to disrupt them? Why? Because it's for your good that He disrupts it. But He's not threatened by it. Why? Because He's the name above all names. He's just waiting for you to give Him the okay to step in your life to reveal who He is to you. Waits for those moments. That God anticipates those moments. I want you to know that sometimes you think, and I want you to think about this, that we think we're going in circles. You ever feel like you're going in circles? I want you to know that do you ever, like a cycle, or do you ever see a spiral, how they go like this? Come on, look at this. This is kind of like life. That we go around these ways, and at the bottom, it's really big. But eventually what we begin to do is we begin to mature in God. And we don't stay in that circle, but we begin to shift. And as you begin to proceed unto God, something happens. Those circles or those cycles begin to get smaller. And they get littler and littler. Come on, they begin to get smaller and smaller. Because we begin to let those things, move those things. We begin to sell those things that we place before Him. We begin to remove those things and begin to follow after Him. We begin to respond to Him with our lives. And then we begin to realize who we are. And the more that you realize who you are, the more all of a sudden those things that you struggled with become less. And less. And less. And less. He says, and He fainteth not, neither is He weary. There is no searching of His understanding. He gives power. Say, He gives power. See, this is the exchange. This is who He is. This is that moment. He says, sell what you got because what I have is greater. There's no name above My name. Sell what you have. He said, sell it. He says, those that are faint, those that are weary. He says, He gives power to the faint. He gives to them that have no might. He increases their strength. This is the exchange that God desires to do. This is that moment. Here it is right now. This guy has battled it all the time. He came to Him, the name above all names, at that moment right there. He said, sell what you have. Sell what you have. Follow Me. So I want you to know that God's not asking you to do something that you can't do. He's asking you to do something that He can do. He's asking you to do something that He can do. That when you exchange at that moment, things begin to change. Something happens at that moment. I want you to know that it's a continual thing. It's a daily thing that we desire and we keep our hearts to abide. That we become aware of God in our lives. That we become aware of who He is and His love for me and His desire to lead me and guide me in Him being in my life. How that He wants to be involved with my marriage. He wants to be involved with what I declare to you. He wants to be involved in my workplace, in my finances, in all that I have. So wherever that thing is that's weak right now, I want you to know that God's desiring to step into it. Whatever it is, wherever that place is, He's desiring to step in that place of your life. And it says, He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increases their strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary. And young men, here's this young man right here, that shall utterly fall. He says, But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew, shall change their strength. Here's this moment right here with this young man. This is that thing that He's offering. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and they won't faint. He says, I've fainted. And God offers that. I want you to know that God sent His Son specifically for you. God was on an assignment for you. He was sent for you. For God so loved the world. That includes you. That He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. This is the offer that was placed before this young man. This is the offer that's placed before us in our life, in decisions in our life, that we can rise up with wings as eagles, run and not grow weary. There's places in my life that I've run and got weary that I need to abide in Him in. Come on, help me. Come on, someone. There's places that we got to admit to our heart that I haven't kind of out of fear, out of weaknesses of trusting maybe in certain areas, or opening yourself up to things or to people. He wants to rise upon you like eagle's wings. That you're not grounded no more. Tell your neighbor you're not grounded no more. That you got permission to fly. Because God sent His Son. That's your boarding pass. You okay? You believe me tonight? Let me get to this end here while he comes up and the praise team comes up. He says he offered this to him. Colossians. Can you look up Colossians 3, 1 through 4? And he says, and the young man kept, he says, I've kept these. And he says, and then he says, but when the young man heard these things, he became sorrowful because he had great possessions. Man, I just want us to catch the significance of that. Because if you're living or breathing, you have possessions. Sometimes those possessions possess us. I'm not just talking about a card collection I'm talking about things that have possessed you, things that have been placed upon you by maybe somebody else. Maybe somebody put something upon you. Maybe it was a hurt when you were young that you didn't ask for it. Tell your neighbor you didn't ask for it. But it unfortunately has made it along. It's made it along the way of your journey in life. But I want you to know that God's always waiting for that moment to step in the midst to take it out of your hands. That you don't have to carry it anymore. See, that's why He came. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. That there will be an exchange of strength. That our lives can represent and reflect who He is. And we can see that I can be an overcoming son. That's what He represents. That no matter what I face, that I can rise above it. Why? Because I am a child of God. It says, if then I be risen in Christ, seek your things that are above. This is where Christ sits upon the right hand. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid in Christ. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear with Him in glory. His appearance. That when we let Him appear, His image and likeness appear in our lives. We don't have to carry that no more. Amen? Would you stand to your feet? And the last part says that, he says that he began to say that the disciples looked at one another and they said, well, who can be saved? This seems hard. Come on, tell your neighbor, it seems hard. Come on, it seems hard. He says, well, who can be saved? He says, they're already doing it. Sometimes there's some things you think you can't do that God is already doing in your life that you don't even recognize. But he said this. This is the key thing. He says, what is impossible with man is possible with God. See, it changes the whole equation. It changes everything. Things begin to change the moment that I begin to abide in Him. In those areas that I'm weak, I become strong. And I abide in Him. And I set my focus. And I come to the realization of His presence in my life. At that moment, desiring to be in that moment in my life. Given the opportunity to change and direct and to guide me and lead me and to breathe life into me where things are dead and things don't have life, that I can rise above this thing. Why? Because I'm His son. He wants me to overcome. So he looked and he says, and they said, well, listen, he says, and Peter answered, he says, we've forsaken everything and we've followed you. We've already done this. We've followed you. And Jesus looked at him. And he says that some of you have left homes, you've left family, you've left friends. He says that everything that you've exchanged is not comparable to what you have in Him. And I want you to see that sometimes you think, well, man, that seems... I want you to know that He's declaring something. Me, to my wife and my flesh, is not what she needs. She needs the Jesus, the Christ within me. The image of God in her life. She needs that. She desires that. She's looking for that. I want you to know that our children in our home life, that sometimes we got to understand, we got to realize that that's the exchange. That it's no longer I that liveth. Now all of a sudden, in that moment, I'm in the strength of God. And I represent Him. God's desiring His church to represent Him. To exchange. Sometimes it seems hard, but I want you to know it doesn't compare to what we experience in Him. Let's sing it. The name above all names.
In the name above all names.
Yes, you are. Hallelujah. If then there's something that you place before Him, whatever that is, if you've never received Him in your life as your Savior, I want you to go out of that. Don't walk out of this house tonight, hallelujah, without exchange. I can't leave without declaring this, that I feel that, man, that whatever, I know there was something that was said, there was some thing, areas that I just felt like just flags going up in my heart and areas that were touched by your heart. And I just want you to receive what God has declared to you tonight, that it doesn't have to stay that way anymore. It doesn't have to be that way no more. But He's come to give life. He's come to change. To give you peace. To give you hope. So I pray right now, hallelujah, in that area. Come on, let's just lift up our hands right now. Hallelujah. Let there be a healing touch right now in Jesus' name. Let there be a healing touch right now in that area. How many years it was, hallelujah, Lord, whatever somebody said, whatever was placed in your life, whatever that you've taken hold of that you didn't ask for, right now, I pray for healing to be done right now, to begin to turn, begin to change, begin to quicken. I pray to God, Lord, there'll be a rising up, hallelujah. I pray that there'll be a hope. I pray there'll be a dawning within them, hallelujah. If they don't have to stay that place no more, hallelujah, but there's hope because of Christ. Right now, in Jesus' name, come on, hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just thank You I pray for each person here represented, God. I pray to God, Lord, that we begin to abide. I pray to God, Lord, that we just begin to hear Your voice. I pray to God, Lord, that we continue to move in the cycles, but we begin to move upward, hallelujah, in Your strength. I pray to God that we begin to abide in You in all that we do, in my home, in my life, for my wife, for my child, for my church, for my workplace, that I abide in You, that everything out of that place comes from You, God. Lord, that there's fruit that comes out of it, hallelujah. That those that are around me can begin to see that God is good, hallelujah, because You're alive within me, hallelujah, that You've given me hope and purpose, that there's a river that flows out of us. We'll give You the glory and the honor, and with that we'll be able to declare that we are in Jesus' name. Come on, give somebody a hug. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, bless somebody. Amen. Give God glory.